Because you're standing in the path or blocking the path.
Hare Krishna.
I've been speaking in a series of talks about bhakti is independent. There are various meanings to this. One meaning is that it's not that by doing karma or pious activities that one can get bhakti. Janma koti sukritayana labhyate, as the famous verse goes. One can do pious activities in many millions of births, but that doesn't give rise to bhakti. Nor by performing austerities, nor by any other means than bhakti. Bhakti is given by devotees. Another meaning that bhakti is independent is that we can't by our own efforts get bhakti. Bhakti is a gift given. Now it is stated that we should follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. That's called sadhana bhakti. So that's also bhakti. And that is supposed to lead to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. And the full manifestation of bhakti is prema bhakti. So in sadhana bhakti, there are many rules and regulations to be followed. However, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 37, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. In this context, meaning independent, it may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. So the formulas are there. There are various rules given by which will help us to develop our devotion. Rules are there. One should hear topics of Krishna, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from devotees, in the association of devotees. This will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. We should avoid the association of non-devotees. We should take food which is offered to Krishna and not any other food. We cannot offer to Krishna food that is not cooked by devotees. We should chant the holy names of the Lord. We should not engage in mundane activities, just in the field here, the Sunday pastime of young men in India is, I guess they're playing cricket. Is it? Cricket, yeah, cricket. Not real cricket, just... Yeah, real or not real, it's all unreal. meaningless. So one should not take interest in such things. One should concentrate and come fully to Krishna. But here Srila Prabhupada writes that even after following all the rules, there's no guarantee that you'll get bhakti. So that might be disappointing to hear that. Well, the point is that it's not simply by following rules that one gets bhakti. One has to desire, one has to pray for the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And Krishna is very merciful. He wants to give us bhakti. The devotees want to give us bhakti. And the activities, do this, don't do that, they help to cultivate that spirit. But the point is that we can't force it. It's not that, okay, I'm going to sit down and fast and chant and chant and chant and chant and then till Krishna comes and dances in front of me. It doesn't work like that. It depends on Krishna's mercy. And actual chanting means to pray to Krishna, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Not that, Krishna, I'm chanting, now you must engage me in your service. So it's all a matter of attitude, of desire. If one prays like this, Krishna, please engage me in your service, That itself is bhakti. But if we simply follow the rules, but we don't have the spirit of wanting to please Krishna, if we, in a mechanical way, attend classes and think that, I'll chant 16 rounds, I'll follow the rules, and then just in course of time, automatically bhakti will come, prema will come, that's a wrong way of thinking. Bhakti is a gift. Krishna wants to give. As Prabhupada often said, that if we make one step toward Krishna, Krishna makes 100 steps towards us. So he wants to reciprocate, but our mood has to be devotional. And that devotional mood, that we are meant to imbibe that. By the association of devotees, we have that. Because the mood of bhakti is very different to the materialistic mood, in which one is thinking of how can I improve my situation for enjoying in this material world. It's a completely different attitude. So coming to bhakti, we have to imbibe the attitude of bhakti. Otherwise, it may be that we definitely bring into bhakti. We come with our previous impressions and attitudes. So it may be that even coming to bhakti, we think, someone is in a very big position, they're being honored. I should be honored also. We may think, someone is doing so much service and others are respecting. I'll do so much service, then I'll get respected. Even subtly, we may not even recognize in our mind that such a desire is there. So when we talk about discussing bhakti, we should hear about these topics. Also, these things should be said. It's a transcendental psychological analysis. We're not at all concerned with mundane psychology, but there is transcendental psychology. Bhagavad Gita could also be said to be concerned with transcendental psychology. Asa kena prayokto yam papam charati purushaha anicchaṁ api vārśaya baladivāni yojitvaha. Arjuna asks Krishna, you could say it's a psychological question, why is it that we want to be good, but sometimes we do bad things, it's almost as if there's something forcing us inside. And Krishna's answer, what's Krishna's answer? Sanskrit? In India you have to say the Sanskrit. Deva Krishna Prabhu is from America. He's distributing Prabhupada's books all over America, isn't it? You cross the whole country in the course of the year, pretty much, isn't it? Go all across. So the answer is Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. You say, you should know. Now you know, but you should have known before. Rajoguna Samadbhavaha, Mahashano. Like a big fire. Mahapapna, Vidyena Mihavayana. So it's this, Krishna says, this is lust. This is anger. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. It's like a great fire. Rajaguna, which is born from Rajaguna. So these are all very important concepts to understand. In Shastra, there's so many important things to understand. We should try to understand, apply our mind. Bhagavatam is stated there that Tat Srinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro. Vicharana Paro. We should very careful. We should hear the Bhagavatam, message of the Bhagavatam. We should carefully study it, and we should apply our intelligence to try to understand. There are so many important points. And the acharyas have written commentaries, and there are books just like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Upadeshamrita, Madhurya Kadambani, which are based on Shastra, and which take the teachings of Shastra and take various topics in a systematic way to help us to understand them. Madhurya Kadambani. I'll get back to that just in a minute or two. So Krishna is very merciful, and even if we approach Krishna with some material motive, Krishna is inclined to help us. A very famous example is Dhruva Maharaj. He had a material motive. He wasn't very much interested in bhakti per se, but he wanted to get a great kingdom. But he was engaged in devotional service by Narada, a great devotee. So by the mercy of a great devotee, even if one doesn't want bhakti, one may be awakened to that consciousness. But still, Dhruva Maharaj, he was very serious. It wasn't just that Narada Muni just patted him on the head and then he became self-realized, but he was very serious in his practice of concentrating his mind on Vishnu. There are many examples. Kubja is an example. Trivakra, who approached Krishna with what amounted more or less to mundane lust. But still, Krishna was very kind to her. She didn't get the same kind of mercy or love from Krishna that the gopis got, because the gopis loved Krishna without any trace of any mundane sentiment. But the point is, Krishna is very kind, but at the same time, we shouldn't take Krishna's kindness for granted. We shouldn't think that, yeah, I'm doing bhakti, so all right, I'll get prem. Krishna will give me prem. I'll go on with my life. I'll chant Hare Krishna. And I'll enjoy a bit of this world and a bit of bhakti, and in the end I'll get prem. But it doesn't work out like that. Or it may do, but it may take a very long time. One has to be very eager for bhakti. That desire Krishna will reciprocate with. If someone thinks, oh well, maybe after some time, and Krishna will say, okay, after some time. You have to become very eager. And then Krishna reciprocates. It's not, bhakti is independent, but Krishna, who is one name given in Vishnu Sahasram, Swagash, he's under his own control. He's his own man. He's independent. But then we find again in the Bhagavatam, the name comes more than once. One of Krishna's great qualities, great Vritya Vashyata, he is under the control of his devotees. He becomes controlled by their love. So bhakti means love. And the word love is a cheaply used word in any language, especially in the modern age. But real love that is defined in Shastra, there's some analysis of what is that. Atendra priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendra priti icha dhare premana. The desire to satisfy one's own senses, material senses, is called kam, or material lust. And prem, pure love for Krishna, means the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. And there are many definitions of bhakti, which are along the same lines. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana avitam anukulyena krishna nishilanam bhakti uttama. It's a very famous definition given by Rupa Goswami, giving the essence of all the shastras that one should cultivate devotional service in a manner that is favorable, that one should concentrate one's mind on Krishna in a way that is pleasing to Krishna and without any desire for material gain or profit or for mundane liberation from the material world, simply serving Krishna for the sake of serving Krishna. That's all. Not calculated. What will I get from it? In the beginning, well, that mentality will be there, definitely. Because we're in the mundane state, we're always thinking, what's in it for me? What will I get from it? In the forest one time, Draupadi, she scolded Yudhishthira. So what is the use of all your dharma? Because of your dharma, we're sitting in the forest and Duryodhana is sitting on the throne. Because of your dharma, I got insulted. So she went on and on like this. And Yudhishthira said, yeah, you spoke very well. But actually it was all atheism. Because I do not follow dharma to get a kingdom or to get honor or any such thing. I follow dharma simply because that is the name of dharma, to follow dharma. That's all. So in bhakti also, the pure devotees, they don't think, okay, I'll do this much chanting and I'll get this much benefit. They don't calculate, it's not calculated. In the beginning we tell people, chant Hare Krishna, you'll get free from all distress. And they, but then they think, oh, but still I have backache and still have exams and there's so many causes of distress. Well, that has to be understood properly also. We don't say that all the distress will go away. It may even be that there are very severe tests, as in the case of Yudhishthira and so many, Prahlad, so many devotees. But they became famous as great devotees. Not that they're trying to be famous as great devotees, but they became famous because they didn't become disturbed. They kept faith in Krishna. Because they didn't think that I have come to Krishna, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so Krishna should come and fan me and massage me and arrange everything for my material benefit. But they want to love Krishna simply for the sake of loving Krishna. Real love is like that. That we love, there's no material personal calculation. So in the beginning we say that. If you chant Hare Krishna, you can get free from all material miseries. And it is a fact. But on the other hand, as long as we're thinking, oh, I'm suffering in this material world, let me chant Hare Krishna and get out of it. Well, that's not the highest stage. But it is a beginning stage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also teaches us to pray, Ai nanda tanaja kim karam patitam maam vashame bhagam budhau kripaya tava pada pankajas tita dhuli sadrisham vachinta. He says, I'm suffering in this material world, in this horrible condition. Please pick me up and place me in the dust of your lotus feet. But the placing in the dust of the lotus feet is the point. Not that just release me from the misery. He doesn't say just, you deliver me from the misery and then I'll be happy. But no, I want to be in your lotus feet. And he goes on to say, Yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagatsavam govinda virahename. So this is the standard of love, that without Krishna, we feel one moment to be like 12 years or more. A great separation, great love for Krishna. Now, bhakti is independent. When we talk about this, we're really talking about pure devotion, which has been demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly, and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, his followers have given this standard of highest devotion, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. This, Anarpita Chirin Chirat Karunya Vatirno Kalau Samapiyatam Unatojvala Rasam Svabhakti Shri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the highest resplendent love of Krishna, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they, based on Srimad Bhagavatam, they composed so many books which bring out the central topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti, pure love for Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form of, although in one sense there's no difference between all the forms of Godhead, but Krishna is the original and highest because he is prema murti. The loving exchanges between he and his devotees are incomparable, even to those of Lakshminath or Sitanath. So the Gaurīya Vaiṣṇava Acharyas, they bring this out. How especially the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the Gopis, especially Śrīmatī Rādhikā. So this is the bhakti which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, but it's independent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing to give, patra patra vichanahe nahisthanastan jajaha pai tare dev prem dan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, they're willing to give. Who's qualified? Who's not qualified? What's the right place? What's not the right place? Without any such consideration, they're willing to give the great gift of pure love of Krishna to anyone and everyone, anywhere and everywhere. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very liberal, Mahavadanya avatar. But at the same time, we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving it very easily, that bhakti is very cheap. Because if we take bhakti to be something very cheap and easy, then it's an insult to Bhakti Devi. Bhakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give, but we have to be prepared to take it. And to be prepared to take it, we have to be prepared to give up all other aspirations. Savadhaman parityajamam ekam sharanam braja. Giving up all other aspirations, surrender to Krishna. As is also in the story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone, which you probably all know. That one man, he performed austerity. He was asking Lord Shiva, he wanted Lord Shiva to give him the most valuable thing in the world. So Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, okay, you want the most valuable thing in the world? Actually, I don't have it. You have to go and see Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami is one of the chief followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that man who is in the Himalayas performing austerity, he came down, walked down, in those days, walking, came down to Vrindavan and searched and found Sanatana Goswami. And he found him, Babaji, sitting with just some small cloth, just sitting and chanting the holy name. So the man asked him, are you Sanatana Goswami? Yes. Do you have the most valuable thing in the world? Yes. Can you give it to me? Yes. So what is it? Where is it? And Sanatana said, you see there's all garbage there? You look in the garbage, there's one touchstone, Parashmani. That means if you touch it to anything, that will turn it to gold. Maybe there's some mantras and this and that. So that's the most valuable thing. You touch it to anything, it will turn everything to gold. So what could be more valuable than that? It's better than gold, because it makes everything else gold. So the man went, he looked in the garbage and he found the touchstone. So he touched it to something, turned into gold. Touched something, turned into gold. So, oh, this is great. Now I got the most valuable thing in the world. But then he thought that why this Sanatana, he is the most valuable thing in the world. but he's not concerned about it. It's in the garbage, and he just gave it to me very easily. I think he's cheating me. He must have something more valuable. So then he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, have you cheated me? Do you have something more valuable? He said, yes. Yeah. Funny story, huh? But it's a true story. At least it is told about Sanatana Goswami. So, can you give it to me? Yes. Well, give it. Well, there is one condition. What's the condition? You have to throw away the touchstone. Okay, I guess it's worth it if I get the most valuable thing. So again, he threw away the touchstone. And then he asked him, so give me the most valuable thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But most people can't appreciate it. Mm. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are willing to give pure love of Krishna to everyone by the very easy method of chanting the holy names. But we have to be ready to take it. And the readiness to take it will begin with faith. Because if hey, you boys out there playing cricket, chant Hare Krishna. Don't waste your human form of life. We should tell them, but they probably won't be very interested. They're more interested in cricket. They're unfortunate for them. Something I said just about 2 or 3 days ago in Bhopal, in Madhya Pradesh, which was much appreciated by everyone present there. There was a group, about the same number of devotees there. So I told them, I can tell you a way how. Best investment. With 6,000 rupees, you can become richer than Mukesh Ambani. Buy a Bhagavatam set. That's the real wealth. Those who study Bhagavatam will find it's, what can we say? It's indescribable. It's not just the knowledge, the bhakti is overflowing in every prati shloke, prati akkare, nana artha koi. Every word, every akshara is full of so many meanings. And all the meanings come back to Krishna and bhakti. So it's a great treasure. Much more valuable than having so much money, which actually causes so much anxiety. But to appreciate that, one just like Chandan. It's almost time for Chandan Yatra. Is it? No, it's not. It doesn't come till April, but it feels like it became too hot in Bangalore early. Anyway, Chandan Yatra, you have to rub and rub and rub and rub and rub, and then the Chandan comes out. Then you get the nice scent. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, as we study and study and hear and contemplate, then Bhagavatam, Krishna, who is Krishna himself, and the devotees. Narada is present in the Bhagavatam. You may have heard of Narada Muni. He's present there, Prabhupada says. He's present right there in the pages of Bhagavatam. All the devotees, you can meet the gopis of Vrindavan. Sometimes they have some competition. And they say, if you win the first prize, you can personally meet Sachin Tendulkar, whoever is the great cricketer now. Isn't it they have competitions like that? You can meet some film star who's paid. He doesn't give a damn about you, but they're paid. And then it's all a money-making scheme. So anyway, you can forget Sachin or whatever his name is. You can meet Krishna and Radha and the gopis and Yudhishthira and Narada and Prabhupada and everyone in the Bhagavatam. So what is it? We have no bad feeling toward Mukesh Ambani or anyone else, but I'd rather meet Krishna. And of course you may say, well, Krishna's the most wealthy. Well, what about meeting Sudama? He's very poor. Okay, he became rich. But there's also Shukadev in Mithila. Krishna went, you all know, you've read Krishna book, 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna once went to Mithila to meet, he went to meet them. They didn't come to meet him, he went to meet them. Two great devotees. One was Bahulashva, who was the king, and the other was Shukadev, who was a very poor man. So Krishna expanded himself in two forms and went to both of them. He didn't go to Bahulashva because he's very rich. He went to him because he was a great devotee. And he went to Shukadev also because he's a great devotee. So bhakti attracts Krishna. But bhakti, Krishna, muktiṃ dadāti karhichit smana bhakti yoga. Krishna can give mukti very easily, but he won't very easily give bhakti. Because by bhakti, he comes under the control of his devotee. So, I'll just read from the 8th chapter of Jaiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Very important book. So many important things we have to read. You can just read Srimad Bhagavatam all your life will be perfect. But you can also read the works of our acharyas, and Gita, and so many important things. We have to read, we have to chant, we have to distribute these books, we have so many things we have to do. I think you should all stop doing your jobs and just chant Hare Krishna. Because so much time is wasted in all these things. I'd also like to read and chant more, but I'm also busy running here and there, and emails and so many things. Anyway, reading from a translation of Jaiva Dharma. Nityananda Das states that it seems that one cannot be a Vaishnava without humility and compassion. That makes sense, right? You can't be a Vaishnava unless you have humility and compassion. And the Babaji, who he is inquiring from, says, that's true. That's right. So Nityananda Das then says, then does Bhakti Devi depend on humility and compassion? In other words, do you have to develop humility and compassion? Then you get bhakti. But Babaji says, no, bhakti is completely independent. Bhakti is the personification of beauty and she is the supreme ornament. She does not depend on any other good quality. Humility and compassion are not separate qualities but are included within bhakti. So humility, we may think, well, let me try to be very humble. But real humility is manifested within bhakti. It's not if we think, okay, I'll be very humble, then I'll get bhakti. Of course, bhakti begins with at least some modicum of humility, which means that one has to have faith, which requires some humility to realize that I'm dependent on Krishna and his mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So some humility has to be there. But it's not that one should, let me just try to become very humble. But humility in and of itself, as is generally understood in this world, that can be very dangerous actually. Because just like, for instance, we see in Krishna Leela, when Krishna entered Mathura, he came across a Rajaka, which means a washerman, one who colors the cloths. He puts all different colors in the cloths. So this washerman, he was very humble towards Kamsa. He was a very good, faithful servant of Kamsa. So when Krishna said, okay, you give me the clothes, and the washerman said, come on, these are for the king, you're just some village boys, you don't know what you're talking about. You just came from the village, you don't know what it means. I'm a servant of the king, I made these clothes for the king, they're meant for him. You better be careful, otherwise you'll get in trouble. So he was very faithful to the king, and what he spoke seemed to be very reasonable. You see, some village boys come and they ask him to give clothes which are meant for the king. It would appear to be a foolish demand, but for the for his faithfulness, and which is based on his submission to the king, he got his head cut off by Krishna. Because it was misapplied humility. Whereas the florist, another Sudama, there's Sudama, who is Krishna's schoolmate, and there's another Sudama in Mathura, who upon seeing Krishna, he was very happy to give him so many flowers, and Krishna came to his home, and Krishna said, okay, what benediction do you want? And he simply prayed that let there be pure devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So humility and compassion, if unless we understand what these are, then if we try to develop them on the material platform, it'll take us away from bhakti. So we might think, let me be compassionate. A great example is Jarabharat. He became compassionate to a fawn. And as a result, he went away from bhakti. Of course, bhakti is never lost. So he didn't completely lose it. But for the time being, he went away. So that may be, if we're interested in being very kind to our dog, pet dog, or to hungry people, you may think, well, we should be kind to hungry people. Yeah, but we should also understand. Prabhupada said several times, actually, that people are hungry, that's Krishna's mercy on them. They're being punished. It's for their sinful activity. So we shouldn't try to upset them. We can give them prasada. But the real thing we have to give them is knowledge of Krishna. Otherwise, if we think by feeding them, we'll benefit them, then we take the position as if we are the benefactors of human society. But we can't help anyone on the material. By material means, we can't help people actually, only in a very superficial and temporary way. So real humility and compassion are byproducts. Don't step over the mridanga. You don't know that? You shouldn't step over anything, especially not the mridanga, which is Krishna's dear paraphernalia. Yeah, apart from all these philosophical discussions, some ABCs of Vaishnava behavior should also be taught. Maybe the older people know such things. Is it when you're a child, you're taught don't step over anything, practically? Definitely not books or any. I think this is all lost now. People don't know these things. Usually when I come to a class, they put me on a seat with the Bhagavatam below me, which, what is that? It's an offense. Getting off subject here a little bit. One time in Punjab, I came into some public hall, actually some university hall, auditorium. And there was a big seat put there, and the book was put, but the seat was put in such a way that the book was below me. And there were a few Sikhs there, Punjab. So I adjusted the seat so it came below the book. After the lecture, one Sikh man, we had questions, he said, I saw that the book was placed below the seat, and I thought, if the speaker comes and sits above the seat, above the book, I'll go out. Because in their culture, they give most respect to the Granth Sahib. They worship the book. So all these things we should learn also. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvari gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna manorathena siti dhavato bahi. This is an important verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. For someone who has unflinching, Srila Prabhupada used the word unflinching in this translation, one who has unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all the godly qualities develop in him. But someone who doesn't have devotion to Krishna, they may have so-called good qualities, but they're not really good qualities at all, because they're external. Just like feeding the poor, it only helps the body, but it doesn't help us to get close to Krishna. And all the problems that we have, such as being poor, and being hungry, being sick, these are all caused by forgetfulness of Krishna. So to try to help people without giving them knowledge of Krishna, it can only help them in a very superficial way, however much it may seem to help us. So bhakti is independent of any supposed good qualities of this world. And therefore we find that even people who don't have good qualities materially, they can take to devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's disciples in the Western world, by Vedic standards or the standards of Vaishnava culture, had no good qualities. But they were able to take to devotional service. Srila Prabhupada was able to infuse that in their heart. Whereas within India, the people weren't taking to it. Because they thought, oh, we already know Hinduism, we're already good Hindus. So they thought that because we're good Hindus, we're vegetarians, and we do some puja and some japa, and that's it. So their supposed good qualities were a blockage, because they thought, it's enough. I don't need this pure devotion. What's this Swami talking about? So many Swamis. That was the time of when Nehru's influence was very strong. Is that India had too much dharma. It's spoiled India. So now we need factories. So now by the grace of Jawaharlal Nehru, we have plenty of factories and dharma. Dharma now, Hindu dharma means worshipping Sai Baba, more than anything. More than anything. Isn't it? Most popular. Complete nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. What can you expect? People's brains have become so dull by working in factories. Okay, so I swim up Madhurya Kadambini, which is even the name of it, it's a small treatise by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, based on the descriptions of bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the writings of the Goswamis. Madhurya means sweetness, particularly the sweetness of bhakti. Actually, the word Madhurya really applies to bhakti, and particularly applies to the bhakti of the gopis. Particularly we can say madhurya generally means the quality of sweetness. But that is particularly in bhakti. And that is particularly in the bhakti of the gopis of Vrindavan. So madhurya and kadambini means a cloud bank, a cluster of clouds. So even the title of the book is very beautiful. I find many books have very beautiful titles. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Even the very name of the book is so very attractive. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives an analysis derived from Srimad Bhagavatam. English translation, it's written in Sanskrit. The English translation of this section goes that although other spiritual practices need the help of bhakti to be perfected, in other words, one may follow the path of karma, and in karma, one wants siddhi. Siddhi in karma means to get dhanam, janam, sundari, all these things. Wealth, followers, beautiful women, and so on. And for that purpose, Kangshantam Karmanam Siddhim Yajantaya Devataha Kshipram Hi Manusho Manushayavate Siddhir Bhavati Karmaja. People quickly get their result by worshipping the demigods. They get this karma siddhi. But without at least some touch of bhakti, that one cannot get perfection in karma or jnana or yoga. But bhakti doesn't need any karma, jnana or yoga to be complete and perfect. Bhakti is independent. In fact, karma, jnana and yoga, they get life from bhakti. For instance, one may be performing pious activities, but if he takes to devotional service, then his pious activities can be brought to perfection. One can be following Varnashram Dharma. One is a very dutiful Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. But even if one is performing these activities very nicely, but without bhakti, as I just come to that, then it's not very meaningful. Bhagavat bhakti hinasya jati shastra chapastapaha apranasya vadehasya mandanam. Is it mandanam or mandanam? Mandanam lokaranjanam. It's like decorating a dead body. There's no real life. One may perform one's prescribed duties very nicely, but unless there's bhakti, it's just like being a zombie. There's no real life. It's just activities on the mundane platform, which lead to rebirth. Maybe one will go to Swarga, but that's not meaningful. If one can actually understand that our relationship is with Krishna, we don't have anything to do with this material world, then we'll understand that everything which is not connected with Krishna is meaningless. So, karma, jnana, yoga, they can get life from bhakti. Otherwise, it's all lifeless. There are numerous texts in the Bhagavatam which describe this, and he gives some examples of such verses. Shreyashrutim bhakti mutasya te vibho tyatva swadharmam charanam bhujam haraya pureya bhuman bhavopi yoginas, etc. So these verses, I'll get around to discussing them, or actually have discussed some of them previously in this series of lectures. So karma, jnana and yoga require bhakti to come to the point of perfection, but bhakti is never dependent upon these. There's a verse in the 11th canto. Many of you may have studied Bhagavad Gita. Please study Bhagavad Gita. And we'll find in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna speaks again the same instructions to Uddhava, but in more detail, and giving many, many important instructions about devotional service to Krishna. So one of those instructions, directly about bhakti yoga, Krishna says, Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmanaha na jnanam na cha vairagyam praya shayo bhavediha. Therefore for a devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, madatmanaha, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation, jnana and vairagya, is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. So jnana and vairagya, these are very, on the spiritual path, these are considered very important. But they're not in and of themselves, they don't in and of themselves give rise to bhakti. Rather, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. Jnana and Vairagya, they come from bhakti, not vice versa. In the Bhagavad Mahatmya, it's described that Jnana and Vairagya are two sons of Bhakti Devi. Female form Bhakti Devi. Her two sons are Jnana and Vairagya. They come from Bhakti, not that she comes from them. In the Priti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami also minutely analyzed the Srimad Bhagavatam and categorized its teachings. Now I'm speaking on this one teaching, Bhakti is completely independent, giving references from so many different shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. So our acharyas, they did that. They, especially Jiva Goswami, analyzed so many, all the different philosophical points of the Bhagavatam. And therefore we have Srila Prabhupada's commentaries on the Bhagavatam, which are all following Jiva Goswami and the other acharyas, how they have taken the Bhagavatam, they've found the core teachings, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Pumarto Mahan, that Prema, Krishna Prema, is the greatest wealth for every person. So all the different teachings they've found, and they've presented in their writings for our benefit. And Srila Prabhupada has distilled all of that and put in his Gita purports and Bhagavatam purports. How many of you have a full set of Bhagavatam at home? Many. Who doesn't? Yeah. So you please become richer than Mukesh Ambani. Really? Really, really. Your life will be much, much better than his if you take these books and study them. What a great treasure. After millions of lives, you have this opportunity. So all guidance is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But that doesn't mean that we just have to sit at home and read it. We should discuss it like this also, because Bhagavatam is unlimited, just as Krishna is unlimited. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Krishna Tula Bhagavat Bibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Akar Nana Arthakar. He says that Srimad Bhagavatam is just like Krishna, all powerful, can give shelter to all, and just as Krishna is unlimited. So in every verse, in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so many meanings, so unlimited. So please get these books and read these books and discuss these books. So, Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, he wrote various dissertations on the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he writes there, in Priti Sandarbha, 78 Anuchet. He gives Anuchet. Anuchet means, yeah, how to describe, they're not really chapters, they're points, point by point. That he says that bhakti cannot tolerate any purpose not directed toward the service of the Lord. Bhakti does not need any help from karma and jnana, but by its slightest touch gives success to those struggling on those paths. The Bhagavatam goes on to state that bhakti can even if one doesn't try for the results of karma, jnana, or yoga, but simply by performing bhakti, one can get all of these. Just like we're talking about Sudama, he didn't work hard to get lots of money. He didn't even want it. But his wife wanted it. He didn't want it. So he went to Krishna, and he's supposed to beg for some wealth, but he completely forgot about it. His wife sent him to Dwarka. You go and get something from Krishna. You're a Brahmin, you can beg from him, and you're his friend. And so he went there, but he completely forgot it. He didn't even think about it, about I'm supposed to bring some wealth. There would be no harm if he asked. As a Brahmin, he can ask. But he just completely, he was just so happy to see Krishna, he forgot all about it. But Krishna, without him even asking or even wanting it, gave him so much wealth. But he didn't think, okay, now I can enjoy myself. He thought, okay, before I was worshipping Krishna with nothing, and now I have so much wealth, and I'll use it all for worshipping Krishna. It didn't change his mood of bhakti also. at all. Similarly, one may, by the mercy of Krishna, one can get all knowledge, even without trying for it. Just as there are many examples of this. Dhruv Maharaj had, he was a young boy, he had no opportunity to study. But simply by the Lord touching him with his conch, then he was able to compose so many beautiful prayers. So by a yoga siddhi, a devotee can get all the mystic perfections of a yogi without even trying for that. Sometimes we saw Srila Prabhupada, he had mystic perfections. He wasn't interested to show them, but sometimes, for instance, sometimes devotees would see him. One time in Detroit in America, he was coming up the escalator and everyone saw that he didn't really touch the ground. He was walking above the ground. It was visibly seen. And many times it was seen that Prabhupada could understand exactly what someone is thinking, and he will speak to them many, many times. Many times it happened. Devotees would come, there are so many questions in their mind, they want to ask Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is just speaking to everyone, some topics, and automatically all their questions get answered. That happened many times. So, even without trying for all these things, Krishna may give them, just because one is doing bhakti. But the devotee is not interested. The devotee doesn't think, well, I'll chant Hare Krishna, and then I can fly in the sky without an airplane. Like you can get this Lagima Siddhi, you can become very light and you can go here. Devotees aren't interested, but they may get such perfections. As stated in Bhagavatam, Yat karabhya yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascha yat yogena dana dharamena shayobhir itarayarapi sarva mad bhakti yogena mad bhakto labhate anjasa Swagapa Vargang Madhama Katanchit Yadi Vanchati. Krishna, again speaking from the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, speaking to Uddhava. Everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, detachment. Whew. Let's think about this. So you can just read it quickly, but Yat Karma Bhya, everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities. Yat Tapasa, everything that can be achieved by penance. Jnana Vairagya, knowledge detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. So if you think, well, I'll give so much charity, I'll get so much benefit, you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get more benefit. If you think I'll do severe austerities, chant Hare Krishna, you'll get more benefit. By Krishna's mercy. If somehow or other my devotee aspires for promotion to heaven, liberation or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benediction. So everything comes easily by bhakti. But if we think I will do bhakti and then I'll get all these things, then it's not bhakti. But still, if we do bhakti, that's mixed bhakti, with some motive, even that is better than performing activities without bhakti. Bhakti is so great. Okay, I'm supposed to speak for an hour. It's about an hour. And I'll finish there at this point. Hare Krishna. These are the kind of topics that if you study Bhagavatam, and then the acharyas, they analyze all these points. You'll find all these points in the Bhagavatam itself, in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So we should study, understand the teachings. Then we'll become more and more enlivened about this. There's no need to present this book because the stock is finished.
Can we take orders so that...
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. On Prabhupada's order, I've also written quite a few books, which will be presented now.
Hare Krishna.
If you'll kindly sit for a few more minutes.
Hare Krishna, let us all thank from the heart for Maharaj to come here and spend this time with us and instructing us on the science of bhakti, or bhakti is independent. So we all thank Maharaj. Let us all chant once Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the way of thanking Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I also take this opportunity to make this important announcement about our upcoming Rath Yatra festival. It is on Ugadi Day, April 8th. So Lord Jagannath is going to come out in the streets and grace and give his darshan to many thousands of people. So please, all of you also should make a point to come and join our Rath Yatra festival. It is near the HBR Leo Viscount Temple, so you will all get messages and information about that. So kindly take part in the Rath Yatra in big numbers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So it was a very enlightening session by Mr. Kapil Kasam Maharaj.